Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
This is an oasis of love, a family, praise God. And I was so disappointed I didn't get to participate in Sister Jackie's homegoing service. She's been here so long. We're both from Indianapolis, and we had that affinity together. But I heard it was a wonderful service. People got saved, and I know she'd be very proud of that. But we're getting a lot of people on the other side. Back when Becky and I started this church, it was just all right here. But now we got a whole church on the other side waiting for us. Amen? And praise God. One of these days we're all going to go. And I just pray we can all go at the same time. And what the Bible that doesn't call a rapture but describes as a rapture. Amen? Praise God. I just wonder how much we appreciate the people, this house of God, this place. When I was sitting over here a while ago in the service, the worship is just phenomenal. On a Wednesday night, here we are to diminish attendance during this pandemic, and the worship in this place is just unbelievable. You could run your tires off a good Chevrolet driving all over Texas to find a place where you could feel the presence of God and be around people that worship like this group of people do. And it's not just the people up here. You look back, it's all the way to the back row. People got their hands, and it's a tangible thing. And I suppose that Sister Becky has led us into that because she is a worshiper. She is a true worshiper of God. I remember a long time ago, far, far away, some little church preaching a message about the expansion of America into the West. And one of the things they had to do was go in those covered wagons. And I was talking about how difficult it must have been to go up those mountains in those covered wagons. And what I read and studied on that is they would go up a little bit, and then they would stop, and they would put a chalk under the wheel, rest their animals, and they would proceed again. I remember talking to that little church many years ago about that's the problem with the church. We don't do that. Every time we come together, we're starting over. And that's true of almost every church I ever preached in. You've got to start that thing all over again. But at Living Way Church, I mean, when from this first note, you people just begin to praise God. And we don't have to start all over every service. Praise God. We can proceed from where we were last Sunday or last Wednesday. And that's a real mark on your spiritual level, and probably indicates that a lot of you don't just worship the Lord here. You worship the Lord all day. You worship the Lord in your house. And so when you come here, it's not just flipping a switch. It's a continuity that is your life. And I want to thank you for that, because just walking in here, I can just feel the presence of God as a tangible thing when this place begins to worship the Lord. And we don't just do it on Sunday, praise God. It's just as strong and in-depth on Wednesday night, and I thank God for that. Praise God. Well, let me continue where I've left off last Wednesday night. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You may be seated. God bless you. Let me refresh your memory with this three verses that tells quite a story, and Jesus himself spoke it. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. In modern Christianity, that's just enough that the unclean spirit is gone out. But Jesus is bringing us a story in three verses that says that's not nearly enough. Then he saith, I will return. This is the evil spirit. Says, I will return into my house from whence I came out and whence he has come. He findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, the evil spirit, and take with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. That's the perfect picture of a powerless Christianity. People that made a statement of faith somewhere, but they never followed up on that. And that is the peril of Christianity today, that it is literally powerless. Paul warns us of that peril in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's exactly where we are, where there is a wholesale profession of Christianity. They profess godliness, but there is no power resident in their life that causes a change to be there. Notice Jesus states that we will have power only after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. The signature indication of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is transformation. And it has always saddened me that so many people come to an altar appeal, make their prayer of confession, shake your hand, thank you for preaching to him, whatever it is, and then you never ever see a person respond or come back that is truly transformed. That's not the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is a life-transforming experience. It literally changes who you are. That's what is sadly lacking in many, if not most, so-called Christian conversions today. They're the same old person, not the new creation that the Bible declares. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I've been in the church all of my life, and I don't know that we had nearly as many conversions as we have today around the world. But I do know that so many of those people came, and when they gave their heart to the Lord, and they were filled with God's power, they were amazingly transformed. Of course, we lived in a smaller town much of our life. Sometimes it was Indianapolis, and a larger time we moved back and forth. But in that smaller village in Illinois, it was a small village. Wasn't many people there. There was like 100 people in the city, but people drove in from all over, and our church would run like 150, sometimes 200 people, and there was only 100 people in the town. But there was a Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, and a Methodist church. That was all that was there. And everybody was known in that community. And we had some very vile people, terrible people, people that you knew. They were known just to be terrible people. And I lived long enough to see some of the most vile people of that little community come in and get saved. And when they got saved, it was a radical transformation. I mean, they were not the same people. And even the people that were not Christian or not saved knew that something had happened to them because the transformation was so vivid. I remember one man in particular. He was a neighbor, lived not far from us. He was one of the most vile men that I can think of. His language was so filthy that you could not stand to be in his presence. And one night, he came to that little church. I never will forget it. He came down to that altar, and he began to seek God. He wasn't there 5 minutes. He was probably there an hour. But what he got that night transformed him. We had 25 miles away in Effingham, Illinois, we had a factory called Norge. They made the washers and the dryers, and that's where he worked. And he was known to be such a terrible person, such a vile person. But when he got to work that next day, he was a totally changed person. And he literally did not speak English for 3 days. It was like a transformation of Saul to Paul on the road to Damascus. He was transformed. And everybody within 50 miles knew this man had been saved and filled with God's Spirit. It was a transformation. It changed him totally. And he lived for 2 or 3 years like that. And the next thing we know, he was preaching the gospel and had gone down into southern Illinois and was pastoring a church. And every time I'd see him, I didn't have to hear one thing he said. I just knew there was a God, because I could look at the canvas of that man's life and say, look what the Lord has done. The Bible said we're epistles seen and read of all men. When you get saved, you need to be filled with the power of the living God that will transform you, that everybody that knows you say, man, there's been a change in him. There is something to Christianity. There is a radical transformation that happened in his life. But we don't see enough of that. And one reason why we don't is we're not emphasizing radically enough that you not only need to give your life to Christ, but praise God, you need to get filled with the power of God. You need the Holy Ghost inside of you, that you might be a new creation, a new creature, a different individual altogether. And friend, that can't happen by just do's and don'ts and rules and regulation of the church. That has to be something that happens inside of you. And I talked about it in an earlier session about Ezekiel talking about the new heart, talked about what Isaiah talked about, that stammering lip and that other tongue. Jesus prophesied about it. Every one of those prophets talked about an experience that the church is not propagating. And the reason why we've got so much hate and problems in this world today is the church has failed. The church has got a lot of people professing that don't possess. A lot of people that talk that don't walk. A lot of people that have claimed Jesus Christ, but they have never let Jesus Christ claim them. They claim Him as their Savior, but He's not even close to being their Lord. Friend, if we are to be what Christ died on that cross for, we are to be a radically changed individual. Here's a verse I've loved for a long time, Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which given unto us. I want to tell you that there is a love that can come to the human heart, but the only way it comes is by the power of the Holy Ghost. I have never seen hatred so displayed as I'm seeing it displayed today on our news and on our televisions. Hatred is now on Main Street. It's a primetime performer. And there's so many things that people are trying to do and so many laws we're trying to pass that's going to bring hatred to its knees. It will never happen. It will never happen. The only thing that can drive out darkness, as Dr. King said, is the light. The only thing that can drive out hatred is the love. And friend, there is no love without God. The Bible said God is love. And all these people that want to put God behind them and on the shelf and take Him out of the school and take Him out of everywhere and then say, well, we cannot hate. They are an exercise in futility, because there is a love that this world needs that can be shed only by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not join the church. There's a lot of hatred in churches. There's a lot of bigotry in churches, a lot of prejudice in churches. The only thing that can desegregate the church is the love of the Holy Ghost, the God's Holy Spirit. You know, I like to look at the life of John. John liked to talk about himself in the third person. I've always thought that was unique when somebody does that. Like, it's always, Brother Fender wants you to do so-and-so, and just say, instead of saying, and I've known a lot of people that do that. But John was kind of into this. He would say, the disciple whom Jesus loved. When he said that, he's talking about himself. And he always liked to talk in the third person, and I'm not quite sure what motivates people to do that. But John, he really fancied himself to be an amazing person of love. Jesus not only loved him, but you can tell just from the verbiage he uses, John really felt like he was the apostle of love. He was probably a better container of love than the other 11 disciples. You can just see that emanating from what he writes. But there's a unique story, and that is the disciples came to town one time with Jesus, and Jesus shared his message with the people in that city. And they rejected Jesus and the disciples and the whole apostolic band. And so this apostle named John, this is what he said. When his disciples James and John saw that they had been rejected, they said to the Lord, "Will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did?" All of a sudden, this apostle of love is wanting heaven to send down fire and kill every one of them. That's an amazing turnabout for a man that pictures himself as an apostle of love. One of my pastor friends said, the reason it's so hard today to pastor is, he said, there's not enough judgment. I said, well, there's not any judgment. He said, well, there's sure not enough. He said, it'd be so much easier to pastor if God just knocked one off that back seat about every Sunday. That's not the man I want pastoring me. Just because people do not receive the Lord properly, you have a desire, God kill them. Well, that's where John was. What does the Bible say about the human heart? It says it's deceitfully wicked. As much as John wanted to be an apostle of love, as much as he pictured himself as an apostle of love, he would have those moments where he wanted to call fire down from heaven. But something happened to John. He wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, "If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we who love God love also his brother." There has been a radical change in John's life from the time that he wanted to call fire down from heaven and kill people to the time that he wrote this book. What was it? It was the power of the Holy Ghost. When you say, I just can't help myself, I just don't like that race, I don't like black, I don't like brown, I don't like Asian, I don't like white, there's too much history there. When you're saying that, what you're saying is, that is the human heart, deceitfully wicked. But what you're always also saying is, the Holy Ghost is not guiding me. Because I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost can revamp you, remake you, restore you. There is nothing like the love that the Holy Ghost can bring. And you can love people that you used to not be able to stand because the Holy Ghost will work through you. And friend, when we deprive people at our altars from the experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, we are limiting them so greatly because they'll never know the pure love that they can love people that despitefully use them. They can love people that say hateful things against them. I just love the story. I shared it twice. This is the third time, but I just love the story. Brother Kenneth Copeland is such an amazing man when it comes to talking about prosperity and God blessing you. And he's a specialist. That's one thing we've never learned in the body of Christ. You take certain people, they are specialists at certain things. And that's what Kenneth Copeland's specialty is. But somebody told me just a year or two ago, they were at the meeting, and somebody was saying something very hateful about another preacher. In fact, it was a preacher that had said some things on television and called Brother Copeland's name. And all of a sudden, Brother Copeland just got up and left and went and sat by himself, was eating his lunch. And somebody went over and said, Brother Copeland, are you feeling all right? He said, yeah. He said, how come you moved? He said, oh, I heard some hate being spewed over there. And he said, I just don't want to be around that. Well, they were actually defending Brother Copeland. This preacher had said on national television something negative about Brother Copeland. And so this guy felt like he was defending Brother Copeland. But Brother Copeland was saying, no, I don't need you to defend my reputation. Because the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. It's easy to love people that brag on you. It's easy to love people that talk good about you. But the real love of God will cause you to return love for hate. And that's the reason why we've got the problems we've got in this country, is we're trying to do it outside the Holy Ghost. There will never be unity in America or any place in the world. There will never be a community that we really love to live in until we have a Holy Ghost revival and people's hearts are changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. So John was radically changed from being a hater to a lover, from wanting to kill people with fire from on heaven, saying love everybody, love your neighbor, love your enemy, love everybody. Second, the transformation of Peter. Simon Peter, from a reed to a rock, from reek to strong. The Apostle Peter, he was a handful. He was something. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. This is when Peter said, I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends him from that. And then he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice that the dialogue that Jesus had with Peter was always future tense. Jesus Christ could look at Peter and see what he was going to become after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's one reason why the Lord is so patient with us. He sees us not as we are, but he sees what we can become if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And suddenly, it's not the deceitful heart, it's the love of God in our heart. Suddenly, it's not just our flesh, but it's the power of the Holy Ghost in him. So Jesus said to him, when Jesus beheld him, thou art Simon, the son of Joseph. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation stone. Again, what is it? It's future tense. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will give future tense under the keys of the kingdom. So many of us say, well, I don't know why I don't have this power. It's because we either have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or once we received the Holy Spirit, we quenched that Spirit and didn't let it do what it came. I want to talk next week a tremendous thing about what the Holy Ghost is supposed to be doing in our lives. But Jesus always talked in future tense with Peter. He said, I pray for thee that your faith won't fail. When thou art converted, Peter had been following him for a couple of years, and Jesus is still talking in the future tense. When thou art converted, Simon Peter without the Holy Ghost, he was something. He was literally, the Bible said, a reed, just nothing. Anything that came along, shaped. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Just whatever happens, they're with them. If you want to brag on somebody, they'll brag them. If you want to talk about them, they'll talk about them. They're just a reed. That's the way Peter was. Peter tried, but he was just not able. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus was being crucified, that Peter stood there and he denied Christ. After saying, you remember he was real strong. He said, oh, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, oh, yes, you will. He said, before that cock crows, you will deny me three times. And sure enough, he stands there at that fire. Jesus is about to be crucified. And Peter is so weak, so very weak, that when they said, we know who you are. You're one of Jesus' disciples. Oh, no, I'm not him. I don't even know who are you talking about. I don't know. And so somebody else came along and said, no, you are one of three times. And finally, just to show how vehement he was, he cursed. And he said, I am not. I'm not one of his followers. That was Peter without the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Every Christian ought to ask God to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And then not only that, every day of your life, you need to maintain the Holy Ghost. And that's one thing that age taught me is maintenance, how difficult it is to maintain things. I don't care whether it's a car or whether it's a house, real estate, the maintenance is just unbelievable. I'm always wanting to prepare for things. I bought a generator. In case the electricity goes out, I got my own generator. But now if you get one of those Generacs and they got it hooked up to the natural gas at your house, every week it runs for 15 minutes automatically. Friends of mine got their great. No, I didn't do it. I just bought my own generator. And I put it in the shop so I can go get it. That generator has been sitting in that shop. It's brand new. It's been sitting in a shop for 3 years now. Never been started one time. I went out the other day and cranked on that thing. I just didn't maintain it. It's brand new, but it won't start. If you have a Generac, every week that runs automatically for 15 minutes. That's part of the package. A lot of my friends in Houston where they have hurricanes got Generac. And automatically you run for 15 minutes and run all your house and they shut off because they maintain themselves. Well, friend, I want to tell you about the Holy Ghost. If you just let it go and it's dormant, there's going to be a time where you need it and you're not going to be able to get it started. The Holy Spirit needs to be a part of your life every day. Every day you need to pray for somebody. Let me just give you some keys here. Every day you need to pray for somebody that doesn't like you. Oh, you'll be surprised what that will do for you. Every day of your life, think about the person that's insulted you the most, tried to get ahead of you at work, tried to put you down, lied on you. Every week, every day, just find one person like that, just one person. It's always good to pray for our friends and our family and our loved ones. That comes pretty easy. But find some. You know what that will cause? That'll cause that Holy Ghost to start up. Boom! Because you can't do that in the flesh. Your flesh is, I know people that are supposed to be Holy Ghost-filled people go around putting curses on people. If you put a curse and try to put a curse on somebody, I don't believe God's going to let you do that. But friend, I believe that curse comes back on you. You don't curse people that are mean to you and awful to you and ugly to you. You pray for them. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, you can't do that in the flesh. That's the reason why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Most of the things that we need to do in the Christian walk cannot be done in the flesh. They have to be done in the Spirit. In order for us to do that, we have to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Friend, when you hear us and you hear the leadership of this church and we pray and many times we'll break out in tongues, and I know even Spirit-filled churches find that offensive and they'll tell their people, don't speak in tongues in the sanctuary. Well, friend, we just invite you to go to that church if it offends you. Because I would rather offend you than I would offend the Holy Spirit. And praise God, there's going to be a time where I have a real trial, a real crisis, and I just need to be able to break in that language, praise God. It's just easy for me, praise God. And suddenly that Holy Ghost is just kicking in. You don't want to be like me out there with that brand new generator. I mean, the colors are still good on that generator. In fact, it's still got a little tag hanging on the side of it. But I just cranked and cranked and cranked. I never get that thing started. It's still sitting out there. I'm going to probably sell it in a garage sale. Because there's a mechanic somewhere that knows exactly how to fix that. Well, I ain't that mechanic, believe me. But praise God, I don't want to do that in the Holy Ghost. I want to use the Holy Ghost every day. Every day of my life. And sometimes it seems like it's kind of insignificant. It's not a big deal. But praise God, if I learn how to use it every day when there is a big deal, suddenly that Holy Ghost comes in. Woo! It begins to move in my life. And so here's Simon Peter. He's just so pitiful. He's just denying Christ. But what happened to him? He got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1. Exactly what my text was. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. One little maiden intimidated him. A girl said to him, "You're one of them." He said, "No, I'm not." But after he got the Holy Ghost, he withstood the entire nation of Israel. Here's a man that could not stand against one little girl. And after he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he could stand against the whole nation of Israel. They began to mock when they saw them filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in a new language. They said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem." He took on the whole town. He said, "All that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaidens, I will pour out of those days of my spirit, and they will prophesy." Him being delivered, it talked about what they had done. Him being Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands you've crucified and slain. You know how much guts that took to take on the whole nation of Israel, everybody in Jerusalem, and said, "You are the ones." Just chapters before, he couldn't even stand against one little girl. Somebody said, "Oh, that's just not my personality." Let me tell you what, the Holy Ghost will overcome any kind of personality. I don't care what kind of personality you've got. When you get the power of the Holy Ghost in you, it will change. It will be more dominant than your personality that you were born. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you, your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The point I'm making is there was an amazing transformation in this poor, unlearned fisherman. He couldn't stand against one girl. But now he can stand against a whole nation because he's filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. You said, "Oh, I'm just not a bold person." You don't have to be a bold person. Get filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will be bold for you. If you ever wanted to pray for somebody and you say, "Oh, man, I'm embarrassed to ask them if they want me to pray for them in a hospital," or maybe talk to somebody about leading them to the Lord or going through something, and you just say, "Well, I can't work. I can't witness." He ties witnessing to this power, Jesus does. "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all the uttermost parts of the earth." Praise God. The power of God inside of us. We try to do too much stuff in our flesh. We can't do it in our flesh. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. Friend, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost just comes out of me. Praise God. 6 feet, social distancing. Now it's 16 feet. You notice they moved up to 16 now. We're getting farther and farther apart here. But I believe the Holy Ghost just flows out of you. I believe it flows out of you. I find so much favor. Michelle Frazier my old-time secretary, went to be with the Lord a few months ago, used to just shake her head and say, I've never seen anybody where people want to do something for you as bad. She's talking about my in my business. Friend, it wasn't me. It's never me. The Holy Ghost has a way of breaking people's defense down, of harnessing their hostility. I've told many times about the woman that circulated the petition to keep this church from being here. And every neighbor around us, they're all gone now. We bought them all out. But every neighbor, without exception, signed a petition that we could not build this church here. And when we went to city council, the first time we got turned down, and then we had to go to the city council, and it was touch and go. And then the woman that circulated the petition stood up and started crying. And she said, and she's the woman that started it now. She said, I've changed my mind. I never forget a word. She said, I've changed my mind. I think the Reverend ought to have his church if he wants it. That was her words. I think the Reverend ought to have his church. And that was right over here at Live Oak at the City Hall. And so after she said that, they had to vote. And when they voted, it was a dead tie, 3-3 that night. And the mayor had to vote, and he voted for the woman that had changed her mind. We got out in the courtyard, out in Live Oak, out in front of the city hall, and she came up to me. She was never ugly to me personally. She came up to me, and she said, Steve, she said, I don't know why I did that in there. She said, I'm going to go back in and tell him I've changed my mind back. Oh, friend, she didn't understand. It was too late. She went back in there. They said, the meeting's over, ma'am. It's over. It's too late. She didn't understand why she changed. She was actually crying like she was in an old-fashioned church service. She just standing there crying and said, I want the Reverend to have his church. She had no idea. I preached that little sermon called 15 Minutes of Favor. You don't need somebody to love you an entire lifetime. Just the right 15 minutes does it, praise God. Hallelujah. But that was the Holy Ghost going out. I wasn't there by myself. I had a bunch of other Holy Ghost-filled people there. Turned into a little church service. But anyway, praise God. The Holy Ghost has that ability. It has that ability. It turns Peter from a reed to a rock. It changes your personality. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It takes you from being a loser to make you a winner. From being a victim to being a victor. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. There's nothing on the face of the earth like somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost that just came out of a prayer meeting. Just get out of their way. I mean, they're bold as a lion. Praise God. They're not afraid of anything. And that's what happened to Peter. It was all because of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to urge you that you get filled with the Holy Ghost and that you maintain the Holy Ghost every day by getting your prayer life. You don't have to come to church. It's great to come to church, and we appreciate those that do come to church and pray. It's a wonderful place, and the Bible teaches that you do that. But praise God, you can learn to pray in your car. Just pray in English for a while, and then let the Holy Ghost take over. It'll just begin to pray for you. And praise God, when you get to work, you're going to deal with some heathen. He don't have a chance. He don't have a clue. And praise God, you don't have to tell him, I got the Holy Ghost. It's going to zap you. You don't have to do that. You talk about a stun gun. Praise God, we got a stun gun. It stuns them. They don't know what happened to them. The Holy Ghost went out, and it changes their mind. It changes their mind. I've had so many people tell me, well, I don't know why I'm going to do that. That's my favorite deal in business. I don't know why I'm going to do this. Because when they say that, I know the Holy Ghost has zapped them. And praise God, they're going to do what I'm asking them to do. And so the Lord transformed Peter from a reed, to a rock. And third, the transformation of Saul to Paul. Well, you talk about a terrorist. We see so much hatred. I can't believe the violence we're seeing in the streets. People being hurt. All colors of people being hurt. Babies being killed. Just the violence in the street. So what's the answer for that? Everybody's trying to do the best they can. But friend, there is no answer outside of God. We've got to have a revival of the power of God. This is what it said about Saul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. You know who this guy was? This guy was a terrorist, Saul of Tarsus, and he was doing it in the name of religion. You understand that 9/11 was all about religion. the 3,000 plus people that were killed in New York City, that was all about religion. Religion is a threatening thing and a slaughtering thing. The devil uses religion. People kill in the name of religion. And we say, oh, there's just no hope. Do you understand today that there are millions of Muslims that are getting saved around this world? I saw a baptismal service with nothing but Muslims being baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the other day. And you couldn't have put that group of people in this building three times. I mean, it was three times as much as this building was. It was just amazing. And they were baptizing them by the hundreds. They had hundreds of Christians out there baptizing them in a row. Praise God. There is revival in certain places of the world. And you say, well, it's a lost cause. Oh, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. God's Spirit moved on the deep. Praise God. It was dark and void and without form. And suddenly God said, let there be. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is not through with the world. The Holy Ghost is not through with America. The Holy Ghost is not through with San Antonio. There's coming a Holy Ghost revival. But friend, it has to start in the church. The church can't be weak. The church can't be anemic. The church can't be intimidated. The church can't be fearful. The church can't be just shake a hand and get saved. We got to be a Spirit-baptized force. The Bible calls us an army with banners. And here he was. I mean, he was so filled with hatred that he was killing Christians and thought he was serving God. But something happened to him. He went from a murderer to a suicide preventionist. He was killing Christians. The next thing you know, he's in that Philippian jail, and he's saying to the guy that's going to commit suicide, do thyself no harm. You're talking about face, a change. He was so mean that when he got saved and the Lord wanted somebody to baptize him, Christians were afraid to baptize him. They were literally afraid of Saul. They said, no, we're not baptizing that guy. I said, he'll cut you in the baptistry. We are not going to baptize him. And they baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, that's the reason why you don't want to give up on anybody. I don't care who you know that said they just won't come to church. They won't listen to my witness, their family members, their friends. But man, they are dead set against the Lord. Don't give up on them, because you'll never meet in your life a person that was more antichrist than Saul of Tarsus. He was literally the worst. He called himself the chiefest of sinners. But praise God, on that Damascus road, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, knocked him off his beast, praise God. And he lay there in that road. Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And the Bible said he laid hands on him and he received the Holy Ghost. And friend, when the Holy Ghost comes in somebody's life, they are a unique individual. They are changed forever. I've known people that were thieves that after they got filled with the Holy Ghost, I would have trusted them with anything, because there's such a radical change in their life. Jesus Christ forms his power, and he said, I will send to you another comforter, praise God. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost. And church, I ask each one of you, say, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you something else. When you study the book of Acts, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of these chapters, it's the same people. They got filled over and over and over and over and over and over again. Friend, we are living in a society where the devil has been unleashed, but he is no foe. He's no match against the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. Praise God. We've got to cast out all hatred, all prejudice, and let Jesus Christ fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Love everyone. Praise God. Not be weak, but be strong. Not be a hater, but be a lover. And realize God is able to use me through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not my might. It's not my education. It's not my ability. God uses amazing people. As I've traveled throughout the country and met so many wonderful people of God, and so many people that have accomplished so much, I've always been amazed of how little ability they have. I remember going up in the Northwest one time, and I went up there. It was one of the few times I actually was up in that area. But I'd heard about a man that had a church up there, and I went to meet him. This was back in the 70s, and nobody had big church in the 70s. He had 3,000 people, spirit-filled, baptized. And when I met him, he was the most unassuming human I've ever met. He couldn't talk plain. And he had started that church and raised up 3,000 spirit-filled believers. Friend, it's not about our ability. It's about how much we let the Holy Ghost flow out of us. Let the Holy Ghost flow out of us. And if we'll pray in the Holy Ghost, that's the key. Pray, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If we'll pray in the Holy Ghost when we get out there in the workplace, when we get out there where people are around us, the Holy Ghost will flow out. And praise God, it will do what you can't do. It'll bring them to their knees. It'll make them change their mind. It'll make them open doors that have been shut. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life is the greatest authority on the planet Earth. When you let the Holy Ghost move through you, it is going to shape your life. It's going to make a path. It's going to make a highway where there's no way. It's going to open doors that have been shut. It's going to bring friends to you. It's going to bring acquaintances to you. It's going to cause people that were against you to be for you. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. Stand on your feet right now, if you would. Just lift your hands and begin to praise God with me. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm praying for myself, Lord. I want to be more fire baptized. I want the Holy Ghost to have a greater liberty through me than he has ever. In these days that we live, God, just let the Holy Ghost flow out of me like a river. Let it just wash over people. People that don't know. People that don't understand. People that can't comprehend. People that think that they're anti-Christ. And people that think they're anti-church and anti-you or anti-me. Oh, but God, let the Holy Ghost flow out of me like a river. And Lord, it can happen. The Bible says God is no respecter of person. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't have this kind of a personality. It's not that, friend. Believe me, it's whether you allow the Holy Ghost to flow through you. Is there anybody in this building right now that's not saved? You need to come and give your life to Christ. Secondly, is there anybody in this building that says, I'm a Christian, but I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, that would like to come and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost right now? Or thirdly, is there anybody in this building who would say, I got the Holy Ghost, but it's not very active in my life, and I want to reactivate it. I want it to flow fresh in my life. Becky is singing, I'm through. And if you've got something you're facing, this is very important. Listen to me for just a moment on this. If you've got something you're going to face, maybe somebody's got to go to a court. Maybe it's something to do with custody. You got to go into a business deal. You've got to interview for a job. You've got to interview with your boss about what's going to happen in your life. You need to let the Holy Ghost flow through you tonight so that when you show up tomorrow or next week, whenever it is, praise God, the Holy Ghost will go before you and make that way straight and plain in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
My life.